In this video, we have the pleasure of interviewing extremely talented artist and photographer Drift, also known as Isaac or Drifter Shoots. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky, so always do your own research. And as always, if you enjoy the content, make sure that you hit the like button and smash the subscribe button. But let's get right into it. Really exciting day. Drift, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going super good. I'm chilling out in New York for a little bit. Not doing any shooting, just hanging out and spending time with some important people. And that's it's a good time.
That's amazing to hear. This is the second time that we've had the pleasure of speaking with you this week. You were on our Twitter spaces earlier this week. And, you know, we're talking to you ahead of this big drop that you have. So super excited to dig into this. I have some of your photography pulled up right here. I feel like people are going to ask, is that fake? Is that Photoshopped? And it's like, ladies and gentlemen, it is not fake.
It's not. It isn't. That's actually one of my favorite shots from New York. This is when we took the Sotheby's, whatever it takes. It was shot on the 70 Pine Street spires about
it's a live right there.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's the top of the spire on 70 Pine Street, about 952 feet above the financial district. You can see my boy Mill climbing out the hatch below me. It's also the only where my vans go shot with a person in the shot, so very unique there. All very real. Definitely was in those places at those moments. And it was a pleasure talking earlier this week about trading and stuff like that. And then now I'm getting to talk about art.
I want this photo because you can see my apartment literally in this photo. I'm not noticing this. And I'm like, wait, that's literally my apartment. Hard. Yeah, I mean, it's a small dot on there, but it's still present. Anyways, I think it would be useful for people who were not listening to our spaces as well, just sort of set the context as well in terms of your background. And then we want to get to your upcoming drop and discuss that. But we don't need to go through the whole story, but I think it's an inspiring one, which I think effectively articulates sort of the emotion and therapeutic aspect and like really the source of the purpose and drive behind a lot of these photographs. Other than like most people look at it and be like, oh, this guy's just a daredevil. Like what the hell? Yeah. And, we've seen a lot of those, like on YouTube and places like that. But your story and background is quite compelling. So I feel like it would be worthwhile at least to just, briefly go through that, before we dive into some of the, upcoming drop related stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think people often see my work and the first thing that comes to mind is like daredevil, adrenaline junkie, all these different things, right? But I have never been really any of those, to be honest with you. Like my work is not something that, provides like a lot of adrenaline for me, although there's like adrenaline packed moments, during some of these climbs. And but for me, it's been more of a thing that brings me back down to earth. Like I feel like it very much grounds me. It definitely like is different than what people think. It's a big emotional like reprieve for me. So I think like I started when I was in the Army. I spent 4 years in special operations and then I moved to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And during that time, I lost a few of my soldiers to suicide. I was also struggling with my identity, with being both now a conscious black man in America and feeling like I was serving the United States, but the United States was not serving the interest of me and people that looked like me. And so that was a very hard, it was a very hard thing to wrestle with, especially when I was so ingrained in the military and really had a really good career. I really started to struggle with where do I go now in life because I thought it was going to be a career in the Army. I was very depressed at this time and obviously like dealing with PTSD from losing my own soldiers. I was stationed 3 hours away from Houston in Louisiana. I drove to Houston one night and ended up climbing a 50-story skyscraper that was under construction, just sitting above the city. And it was the way that it brought me back down to earth. It was the way that it calmed the storm inside my head. And it was just like, it was unlike anything else that I'd ever felt. And so I just kept doing it. The photos were like secondary to what it was doing to me internally, the way I grew to see the world. And so it just changed a lot. So
can we pause there for one sec? Because there's a lot of things that I'm curious about that we didn't discuss in the space pertaining to this like moment. So, well, A, what you just described is, I'm wondering, was like that intuition that drove you to the top of this building? And like, well, a really deep question is like, well, there's two things related to this. You said you've gone through a lot of therapy and stuff like that. As someone who's gone through an extensive amount of it, it's something that's personally relevant to me as well. But I'm wondering, like, A, and you can choose not to answer this question, but I'm wondering, like, what were your what was your therapist saying as you've gone through this? And then B, I'm curious about that moment that first thing happened and this turned out to be like, was it more about feeling alive? Like, what do you think the motivation was in that moment, and where was that coming from to like say, I'm gonna go climb that tower?
Yeah, so I started going to therapy in late summer 2018. So I started shooting in May. I started going to therapy later. I was like telling my therapist, like, this is something that I do. And honestly, he was very supportive because he understood that therapy, like traditional therapy for everyone, is not the end all be all. And it wasn't for me either. And that, you know, would come into play a lot in like my court case and like how we argued that, like, you know, the mental health aspect of like my work and what I do, not everybody sitting in front of a therapist solves all their life problems. That's not realistic at all. Active therapy and art therapy is a very real thing, especially for artists. And like, if you're not an artist, it's hard for people to understand exactly like why doing what we're meant to do is the best thing for us. So I ended up shooting that night, and, you know, wasn't really necessarily feeling alive, but it was like falling back in love with life at that time. Definitely. It was very much like, calming the storm inside my head. It started to feel like the pain and things I was going through, like I had a purpose. And that purpose was to create and bring something to the world, like a vision to the world that I felt like the world hadn't seen, and definitely hadn't seen in this light, and hadn't felt explained in a way that they could digest it. You know, whenever people saw people running around on buildings or something like that, they're doing it in a way of like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Like, I'm this cool adrenaline junkie, and like, I don't present my work that way. I present my work like, here's these photos. I want you to see what I see. I want you to feel what I feel as a collective human experience that we can experience together. I don't want you to look at me as like really anything other than just like a conduit of like the visions I feel like are given to me that you should see. So it's like, yeah, it's different in that sense of, there was plenty of YouTubers, Nightscapes, and, you know, Imrali Laws running around on places and look at this sick security escape and like really just doing like a bunch of jackassery on like different buildings. Like, if we're being honest, and it's just like, that's not it. It takes away from the light, the art form of it. You know, we have very much like a, you know, like leave nothing but footprints and take nothing but pictures kind of mentality. And that's like, really just the goals, like come take your photos, leave, you know, like, and just give something to the world that's very unique, I feel like.
And that evening when you were on that building for the first time, I mean, first of all, I know we just kind of talked about it, but that is a really, really big moment, right? You just see this building. It doesn't sound like you weren't like a mountain climber before, right? So this was at least relatively new. I'm sure in, you know, special operations, there was incredible, you know, insane stuff that you had to do. But I just figure, you know, that's kind of that big moment. What about with photography? Had you been experienced with photography before that, or did the photography come with the climbing?
It came with the climbing. Like, honestly, I've never been into anything artistic. Like, I was always a good writer, and I wrote my entire life, and I still write now, and I'm working on a couple of books. But like, it was I've never been in anything artistic. I can barely draw a stick figure, like, still, you know. I love music. I love all these different things. I realize now that, like, I'm a lot more artistically gifted than I thought I was, but not in the drawing realm or anything like that. But, like, writing, photography, you know, speaking, like, other different ways. Like, so the photography just came second, you know. Like, I really wasn't and like starting off shooting, like, I look at my photos, I don't think I really started like my photos till like maybe 2020, you know, like here and there, there might be one from 2019 that I'm like, ah, it's okay. But I don't feel like I started taking great photographs until 2020. That one right there, that one's from 2019. That one's not bad, but like,
it's a very original way to shoot this, because a lot of people shoot this in Dumbo, you know? So I haven't seen someone shoot it like this. So that says something right there.
Yeah, the thing was this morning, actually, this sick story, I just come off from climbing the Brooklyn Bridge for the first time. Like, I went to climb...
This morning? You did that last night?
No, when you shot the photo. He's telling you the story of the photo.
Okay.
What classic, right after, you know, everyone has the story of they climb to the top of the Brooklyn Bridge. Continue. Okay.
And then, yeah. No, honestly, I mean, it could have been last night. You know, like, I'm in New York. You just never know. You know, like, people never know. Like, when people see my vibe checks and stuff every day, so some of those are, like, 3 years old, you know? Okay. I promise you I'm not up on a building every morning. I'm not. I'm in bed. I'm drinking coffee. I'm, like, waking up and working like anybody else.
I'm doing 300 burpees.
500, but yes.
500, Jesus Louise, man.
Four to 500. So I think that day, though, I had just got done climbing the Brooklyn Bridge that night for the first time. It was like one of the hardest climbs I've ever done. It was July 3rd of 2020. That was July 3rd of 2019. And I come off the bridge. I was like sitting in the park with my partner at the time. And it was like early. And then I was like, oh, do you want to go get coffee? And we were walking down to Dumbo to get coffee. And then, like, boom, this, like, crazy sunrise. So I was, like, stopping and snapped this photo. And I really like the way that the light comes down the windows on the side. You see it shot at night a lot. You don't see it shot at sunrise very often with the streets being empty and stuff like that. So that's what was really special about it. And it turned out to be one of my favorite photos, honestly.
Well, it's super dope. And, you know, I asked Justin Aversano the same question. I'm really fascinated by skills development when it comes to photography. Maybe it's because that's, you know, sort of my creative background as well as like videography, photography. But when I look at your stuff and you're saying that you didn't like it in 2018 or 2019, like you only started to a couple of years into it, were there any big, you know, kind of leaps in skill or leaps in creativity that you can think of? Like any epiphanies, or was it more of just a gradual, you know, increase in skill and creativity?
It was gradual, and it was like a lot of it was tied to a feeling. I realized like I was shooting more than ever in 2020. I mean, like nonstop. When I got out the Army April of 2020, so it would have been 2 years ago, I just started driving and shooting as much as possible. And then it was like I was discovering like a signature, like symmetry a lot more, like rule of thirds, like all these different things that I didn't even realize subconsciously I was discovering, but I was, you know, and beginning to hone in on like my own style, my own, like, you know, exactly how I want to do things. Like that was, you know, very unique. You know, like even like the fact that I shoot bridges more than any other urban explorer, like I loved bridges, you know? So like that one's like New Orleans, the Crescent City connection at sunrise. It was just like I was tapping into everything I could possibly tap into as far as like getting to know myself and what I wanted to do. And up until that point, I had been very influenced by other urban explorers in my community. There was always a talk of like no one can ever make a legitimate out form or, you know, art form out of this. And like we'll never see it in museums and galleries and all these things. And like I was convinced I could change that, you know? So I started approaching everything different, from how I took my shots to how I presented my artwork to the world, to how bold I was with it, how aggressive I was with it. I knew that it put me in a vulnerable state at times, but it was like, I feel like I have something that everybody needs to see. So I think it was just like, I was shooting more and more and more and more and more. And then I began to like, just kind of discover my own style, my own way of liking things, my own way of wanting to shoot things, you know, when I shot, how I shot, what I decided to shoot, you know, very selective, very well planned.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, you told us about that first night, that first climb, and, you know, the photography was secondary at that time. And, you know, for people that know your story, there's a lot more to the story. So from that first climb, what happened after that?
Let's see. I would go to New York in summer of 2018, and that like really changed my life. I ended up climbing my first super tall 220 Central Park South on the edge of Central Park. And it's like right next to Columbus Circle. It's about 1,000 feet tall. That top floor condo is like a $200 million condo now. And it was under construction at that time. And I'm like standing on the balcony, and it's like I had this $1 million view to myself that day. I was watching a sunrise over Central Park. I just felt it in that moment. It was like, whatever this is, like, I'm meant to do it forever. I just really never looked back from there. Every weekend, every spare moment I had, every day I had off, I was driving to a city, flying to a city. I worked extra to get myself out of debt. I sold all, like, anything I had payments on, I got rid of it. And I just had like a, you know, like my old 2001 Volvo S60 that I like drove around the country in. And like, you know, it was just like whatever I could do to just make the dream happen, to be honest with you. So I started planning. I noticed that like urban explorers were like capitalizing on cities like New York, but like they weren't branching off into like the rest of the United States and these amazing, amazing landmarks. Like that's the Ambassador Bridge on the border of the United States and Canada. And like when I put those pictures out, it was like national news, you know, but no one had like dared gone after the Ambassador Bridge. It was such a big risk. You know, it's patrolled by Homeland Security and like the Port Authority. And like that morning, like you can see the semis on the road. Like, yeah, that was the biggest, probably the biggest climb of my life. Well, one of them. So
it's an incredible picture, man. And I mean, I think all your stuff is insane from a creative perspective. I just don't think that other people have pictures like this. And it does seem like your skills are just super duper. I mean, obviously super duper refined. So you the talent emerged incredibly quick. Nick, were you going to ask something?
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, for people who are watching now, it sounds like you have like a documentary in the works about this, about the detective or cop, whatever it was that was sort of like had it out for you on your journey here when you got, based on what you were saying in the spaces the other day. We don't need to like recap the whole thing. I definitely want to, with this interview, jump ahead to the NFT side of things. But it's worth noting just for those who are watching, right? Like, which of the shoots, like, at what point did you, you said there ended up being a manhunt, essentially, unbeknownst to you. Which shoot was it that ended up triggering that sequence of events?
You know, it's funny that the world's never seen the pictures from this shoot that night. The picture you're looking at here on the left, the Mackinac Bridge, became part of my case because the detective would then take all my footage and go to different cities, and he went to the Mackinac Bridge Authority and like, you know, convinced them to charge me. Well, we won that criminal case because there was never any evidence of me on the bridge. So there's the upside to doing things smart.
This isn't evidence? Like, does this not qualify as evidence?
Well, the thing is like, you don't know who that is in that picture.
I see what you're saying.
No case, no case, you know? So it's like, there's also like the whole aspect of like what people see now, we could have shot 2, 3, 5 years ago. Like, to be honest with you, you know, you just never know. Like when you, something more high profile, the Mackinac Bridge was very high profile, Ambassador Bridge, I just showed you super high profile places. You know, you're running a much bigger risk, you know? But that night in Cincinnati, that climb that I went on, no one's ever seen. I can't release photos of it until after this November. And I will then, you know, and like, it's very tempting not to put one of the last pieces. I think I'm going to make it its own collection, maybe on Super Rare, because when a time does come, like in the documentary and like movies out, then it's going to be the right time to show those pictures and sell those photos, because the historical significance will be intact and people will understand it in a full grand scheme of things. So really, I'm not worried about it. They're amazing photos. But yeah, you know, and I just won a huge civil case over these pictures. This picture here on the left, that bridge, after I beat them in the criminal case, they got so mad and so upset. We offered to have me come back and like give them tips on like, hey, you should fix your security here. You should do this. And all I wanted in exchange was let me come photograph your bridge whenever I want. But they wouldn't do that. So instead, they tried to sue me for all the art money that I've made within it. They tried to sue me for like $1.3 million, but they took the L yesterday. So
yesterday. Wow. Okay. So that just happened. Well, let's pop a bottle to that one.
I know. So we're good. We're good. But yeah, so it's a little bit about that climb. Like no one's ever seen the photos. They will see the photos in time.
So a member from the Discord, Allison, who's not only a member but also a mod, was asked a question which said, when Vans and when Nikon sponsorship? And then I was like, wait, hold on. You shoot Nikon?
Oh, I definitely shoot Nikon. You know what? I'll dunk on anybody else that dunks on Nikon. Whenever people are like, oh, you shoot Nikon? I'm like, push your photos side to side. Let's go neck to neck. Yeah, I shoot Nikon. I don't care. Oh, my shit. Like, you might shoot Canon or whatever. I don't say nothing to people like that. Like, oh, Nikon shooters. Like, what do we do? You know what? And I'm going to just park it there for like 30 seconds. Just to say this. Like, if you look at the best photographers in the world, yeah, they might be some old ass people, but they're all shooting Nikon. These historic people of like, oh yeah, they shot this for this magazine and this for that. They're all shooting Nikon, all of them. So you know what? I get it. It's the old grandpa setup with his tripod shooting macro bird photography. But I'm gonna change that, because when Nikon sponsors me, it's going to be like, damn, everyone's going to want to get a Nikon then.
That's going to be a hot sponsorship video.
Side note, I'm talking shit about camera choice to drift. This is, of which I am far from qualified on the matter, other than I used to shoot weddings.
Nikon stock about to go up through the roof.
Front run that.
Promo video is going to be extra hard. Like, we're taking W's over at Nikon. That's just Asian. But yeah, I do shoot Nikon. I have since I started. I love it. Like, I think that it hands down best image quality. I think the colors are very balanced, you know. Yeah. So that's really it. But yeah.
You want to go?
Well, I was going to say, you know, if we kind of get to the drop, you know, I know that it's a huge drop for you. What can you kind of tell us about it? You know, what was the inspiration? Like, what should people know about the drop?
A couple of different things. I think number one, like the drop. So April 9th is, for the people that don't know, like, I was still incarcerated this time last year. April 9th, 2 days from now, will be a year since I've gotten out of incarceration. I'd be reincarcerated twice after that for short periods of time, fighting through this fighting against this crazy detective. Would get me out. We would fight and get the New York Times article out there, and eventually would go on to like win my cases. But April 9th was my first day out. It was not the way that people see things now, you know. I had five, well, at that time it was four, but it would, actually at that time it was three, but it would grow into five cases to fight. The what people didn't understand was at that time I was sleeping on the floor of my dad's apartment. The $9,000 that I did have left was half of the money I went into incarceration with. I owed $50,000 plus at that time to lawyers, with a total of it ending around $250,000. I had $9,000 left, no clothes, no car, because they illegally seized my car and my phones, plural. I was on an ankle monitor. I couldn't leave my dad's apartment. You know, they had police staked outside waiting for me to break that, and so they could haul me back off. And there's a lot of different things that, you know, until we put out a movie, a documentary, that people are never really going to know and understand because there's just too many details. But yeah, you know, the early days were just so different. You know, I got back on Twitter. I started learning about NFTs. I put out, my first NFT by like April 30th and like sold at the beginning of May or at the end of April. And it was like 1.5 ETH for one of my one-on-ones on Foundation. And it's like that same photo that was on the front of the New York Times for my article. But it the drop is a way of it's not only imperative to like my healing, because I'm still very much traumatized. Like, you don't wake up one day and make a good amount of money or become a successful artist or whatever, and you get over, you know, almost losing your life three times and spending months in 23-hour lockdown in a cage and being completely terrorized and watching your family suffer and like waking up every day and wondering if you get to the end of the year and you're going to spend years in prison. Like, you just don't wake up one day and like get over that. But this is me taking power back into my own hands to use my art and say, you know what, this was the same art that you were trying to, that you legitimately put my life in danger over. You legitimately try to take my life away for, and now I'm coming back. I'm not just selling it, but I'm taking the portion of the proceeds that would go to a platform. I'm building my own site. I have complete ownership over it. And that 15% is going to the Bail Project, and then the Bail Project's taking it in conjunction with me down to the Hamilton County Justice Center where I was incarcerated in Cincinnati. And then we're going to use it to bail other people out. You never know if you're bailing out the next Drift or whatever, you know, like that's real life. There's so many gifted and genius people in there that legit just need a shot that are, you know, and when people think about incarceration, there's such a stigma. People get incarcerated for the dumbest shit. Trust and believe me, like it's true. And because they don't have money or resources or whatever, like they can't get out, you know? So I am also doing the drop to let people get in on my work at a price that like really is like not going to be very like not affordable. Like it's affordable to people. And like, if you look at my one of ones, like the floor is 50 ETH and you know, like people can't afford to pay 50 ETH for a piece all the time, you know, and this, you know, pricing it at 0.2 ETH, you know, allows a lot more people to get in. And that's the goal, you know, is really, I want to expand my collector base to everybody, you know, because I feel like my story, my art is for everybody. It's not just for a select few people, you know? And so that's been the goal, is to expand the collector base, get my art into the hands of more people, and to be able to turn around and empower myself to take my story and my narrative back into my own hands and be like, a year later, full circle, you know, this is exactly what's happening. And, you know, there probably will be a good amount of press around it. And it's a chance for me to just say, hey, look, like, you know, you tried, but you failed to break my spirit. You tried, but you failed to condition me to think that I had to be a certain way. And I just chose to, you know, be an artist through and through, you know. So, yeah, you know, I want to definitely want people to have the chance to hold my work. And there's not going to be anything like this again anytime soon. I doubt I'll even put out another edition this year, to be honest with you. And so it might not be, you know, until next year sometime. But this is the goal.
I have a like NFT logistics question for you.
Yes.
Let's say I want that 70 pine photo, and I don't want to spend $150,000 on it right now, just because I have to qualify for a New York City apartment, and that requires that you have $17 million in your bank account in order to just rent an apartment. In terms of I'm wondering about like ownership, printing, and other things related to your actual photography. Do you sell prints separately? Are NFTs the only vehicle through which you sell? And like, what does that look like for you?
No, definitely not. I do sell prints. Like, my gallery in Cincinnati, the Miller Gallery, is currently representing me, but I'll be expanding to other places in New York and other galleries. the 70 Pine one I haven't put out as an edition yet. Mm-hmm. But I have like a lot of the photos that you see, like my best of my best, they go out as editions of three in the physical art world. So still very scarce. Typically three different sizes. You've got 20 by 30, 30 by 40, and 40 by 60 at $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. All signed by me. If you're getting a van, if shot with the Vans in it, sign it on the Vans. I'm expanding a lot in the physical art world right now too. For my Where My Vans Go collectors, I generally offer half off on their specific piece, you know, if they want to get it printed. And so I'll give them half off. But yeah, absolutely. Any picture you see or you have an interest in, if I put it out as an edition, like I can sell it. So if you ever wanted that 70 Pine shot, you could definitely have it hanging in your crib.
Yeah, I definitely would consider it. And I have some other towers for you to take photos of if you're interested. But okay. Maybe the one that I'm moving into. So we'll sit.
Okay, is it too much to ask where you're moving into? Because you know what, like I might have been there and done that already.
Well, I haven't locked it in. It's in Brooklyn, okay. And it's downtown Brooklyn. So that's what I'll say about that. It's one of the tallest towers in downtown Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Point.
I don't want to say on stream. Also, I feel like I'm jinxing myself because I'm literally in the process of getting this apartment. Okay. I will tell you offline. But yes.
Okay. Just know
Brooklyn Point is a pretty epic building, though. I will say that much, and that one's become an iconic building down there.
Well, just know the two or three tallest buildings in Brooklyn. I've climbed all of them. So
interesting. Okay.
Fans, that your place and I are well acquainted. So.
Okay, there we go.
No, that's
say no more.
It's incredible, man. And so, you know, as far as the actual work, you know, in this drop that you have coming up, you know, as far as like the story behind it and you know where the photos were taken, can you kind of share that a little bit?
Yeah. So what we did was like I pulled Twitter and we had like 5,000 or 6,000 responses as to like what shot should we use for the open edition. I originally was going to go with the shot that won anyways. And it is a self-portrait on the Manhattan Bridge. It was taken after I was incarcerated. You know, all the work that I created after that was very special because honestly, like my life was on the line, but I was still out there creating my work, you know, it never stopped me from being who I was supposed to be. I shot it. You know, I climbed one night and shot it in the summertime and I love it because I'm looking at the city lights, there's fog sitting over the city. It's just like, and I titled it Keep Dreaming. And that's the whole goal. You know, at that time it was like, I wasn't, you know, a successful artist yet. I wasn't a millionaire yet. I wasn't like all these different things. Right. But it's like, it was like, keep dreaming, you know, keep working, you know, that's the whole goal. Like, don't let them condition me to, you know, to stop doing my work. Like I knew what I was there for, you know? So, that's why I chose that shot. And in giving a piece of myself to the world, I felt like it was fitting to have a piece with me in the shot, you know, like I shot it, but I'm also in the shot. So, I felt like it was special because of how it was created, the spirit in which it was created and what the picture stands for. And like, that's a testament to really me and my story. And it happened to be the piece that was also like the most, so.
Incredible. And, yeah, it was just on your Instagram. Do you have it posted recently? I want to pull it up for the show.
If you go back to, I want to say June or July, probably July. I will, let's see. It is, I'll give you the exact date. It is July 19th. So it should be coming up. If you go up just a little bit.
I think you went past it. That was July 25th. So you
gotta yeah. Back. Yep. It's right before that one. It's right after that one. There it is. To your left.
One more. There we go. Yep. This one right here?
Yes.
Fantastic. I mean, look at this shot. My God. So you set up the camera in a separate place and move over there? And
I set a timer. I climbed onto the cable. I sat down, and there was workers like right below me that night. Kind of crazy.
They couldn't see you?
Did they say anything?
Oh, I mean, you just got to know your surroundings. Like, they didn't know I was up there because they were busy working. Be amazed what you can get away with in New York City. No one's paying attention to anything.
Of course, they didn't know you were the special ops person over here. Yeah. Just sneaking around.
There is definitely an element to being invisible and knowing where and how to do things. But yeah, it was special.
I mean, it's incredible, man. And I guess, so this is an open edition and you're releasing it on your website, and the fees that you were going to have to pay to another platform, something special is happening with those fees, right?
Yes. So we'll be publishing the site tonight or tomorrow. So all day tomorrow, all throughout the 9th, it'll be out on the Discord. It'll be on Twitter. You know, we've had the devs build us a custom site. On the site, it's going to have like writing I did about surrounding like my first day out. It's got the video of like when I first got out, and it's just like me, like it was the first time I felt rain in months, first time I've been outside in months, I'm in my front yard, and like, you know, it's a really special moment. It's just a video of me just kind of spinning in the rain, because it was just like I hadn't felt rain, you know, again, like that. And on the site, yeah, it's just very special. You get to read about some special moments, and it's just like this little timeline, this little journey that I've been on. And then it's got a place for you to connect your wallet and mint, however many you want. We've decided, we were like, should we just keep it open for 30 minutes or an hour? And then we realized like there's a lot of people around the world that want it. We don't want there to be an extreme gas war for it. We're just going to keep it open for 24 hours and we're going to cap it there. So, and for the purpose of the drop, that's what I think is best. And that's what we're going to do. So yes, I'll be publishing that site tomorrow. And on the 9th, obviously. And yeah, we'll just make the most of it. It's 0.2 ETH, and people can mint however many they want as well.
24-hour open edition, 0.2 ETH. If you want to get a drift, now's your chance to get a drift. Drift, this has been fantastic, man. You know, anything else that you'd want to share with anybody that's interested in your work, or maybe even interested in, you know, getting into this line of work themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I think for my work, like, you know, whatever I want to share, like when it comes to people, I don't know if you mean like people joining NFTs or people wanting to get into like urban exploring.
I meant more urban exploring.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't do it. No.
I don't ever encourage, because it is dangerous. It is illegal in a lot of ways. I feel like it's my calling in life, you know, that's why I do it. That's why like I will never stop, you know. But I never push people to. I have people that are like, I want to go do like people are always like, I want to go do this, and it's not that easy, you know. So I always tell people like I never am like a proponent of I'm not going to say no. I'm all for people being curious. I'm all for people figuring things out, you know, themselves. But I'm also going to say, like, I'm never like, yeah, you should go do this. You should climb this, whatever, because I know the dangers and stuff that come with it. It's not for everybody, you know. Yeah, you know, so that's definitely what we'll see. I'm looking at some of the comments over here. Yeah, Joe. I mean, like, a lot of people are like, you know, you ask artists about like value and things like that. It's hard to put value on something that, that's like we create, you know. I like look at people and I'm like, you know, mint it because you want to support. I'm not going to come to you and be like, yeah, if you mint this, you're going to 10x flip it the next day. Like, I'm never going to say that as an artist, you know. But I will say, like, I tell people to look at like what I'm building through time, look at my other work, and you know, you never know what might come of it, you know. That's not really what I make art for. I don't make art and think, I wonder what people are gonna like, what value they're gonna find in flipping this. I really don't, you know. If you do it, and that's great, but if not, then you don't have to. Let's see. Diana Sinclair collab. Yeah, 10 for 10 would collab with Diana. She's a wonderful artist, wonderful human being. So
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we really appreciate you having on. And twice now, we had you on the space, and that we got into full degen mode for those that are not familiar.
Yeah, that was fun.
You can check it out on our either of our Twitter accounts. We have the, although you wouldn't know that we both have ones based on what's on here. I see PO's been hogging his Twitter account on this video in particular. But yeah, check out PO's, I guess. In terms of it is recorded only a few days ago.
Really, we're uploading it as a podcast.
Really awesome
too,
conversation. So. And we use you as an example of how to do things right using the format that we have. But we're really grateful to have you on. And definitely... When the inevitable drop happens later this year as well, around your documentary and everything, we most definitely want to have you back to discuss that drop and everything and the documentary and everything surrounding it. Because look, your story is incredibly inspiring. I think it's also emotional, and it's something that people can connect with, despite the fact that you're doing something that's extraordinary and not common. Or uncommon would be the proper way of saying that. In terms of, we're just really grateful to have you on and to be able to share your story with our audience.
I'm so thankful for you guys having me both today and the other day to go full degen mode with you guys and talk about trading and flipping and investing. And I mean,
you were schooling us. Like, literally, suddenly we were like, oh shit, this guy's the biggest investor on this stage. Congratulations, Azuki Whale.
Look, I'm not there yet. You know, like, I'm one day I want to be at like ding-a-ling level where, you know, I can just list out all of my favorite investments. And
fuck
no,
yeah.
I mean, I'm having fun with it, and I'm learning as I go, to be honest with you. And like, that's all that matters. And I'm blessed to be in a position where, you know, my art can create some investing liquidity. And, you know, if I take the right chances, it could really pay off. And it's, you know, it's life changing for me and my family. And that's really all that matters considering where I was last year. So seriously, thank you guys so much. And thank you to everyone that tuned in, you know, whether today or on the spaces the other day. And yeah, I can't wait to see everyone from the drop. And please stay tuned for the details. As far as the website, really the website is the only detail that's not out there now. But the website will be coming out soon. I'll probably pin it. I might unpin my New York Times tweet for the first time and pin the website for a day. So, yeah, so thankful to you guys and look forward to talking again whenever and just to be hanging out on the show.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, Drift. Everyone, check out Drift's Twitter account. It's at Drifter Shoots. I'm sure that's where you'll see that pinned tweet with the website. What were you going to say, Nick?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, everyone, make sure you follow Drift. Check out the drop. I'm sure it is going to go incredibly well. And thanks again, Drift. We will catch you guys next time.
See you guys.